Good morning. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bible, your device, whatever you may have. We're going to look at the model prayer as many of you are know it. It begins in Matthew 6 and we're going to pick it up in verse 6. And I want to explain something to some of you maybe who are here for the first time or part of this series. We're in a series called Think Again. And it's about seeing things from God's perspective and thinking from God's perspective, how He shows it to us in the Word versus thinking from the world's perspective or thinking from the perspective of our problems or our situations. Anybody ever gotten consumed by your problem? And so today, the think again is this. What if rather than start with the need or the lack or the want, or the problem as you see it, what if you started with what you did have? What if you learned to start with what you do have? And so today, I want to take you there because too many times, the tendency for us is a problem comes and we become captivated by that problem. Or a need, a perceived need comes in and we just get overwhelmed. Just start thinking about that thing, whatever it may be. An obstacle comes. And so then, you ever notice that the more you think about it, the worse it gets? Have any of you ever worried yourself out of worrying? I don't know if I've ever met anybody that's been able to do that. Worry themselves completely out of worrying. Any of you ever worried up any prayers before? Yeah, I'm just going to worry them up. You know, that'll get them there faster if I just worry them up. See, I believe we got to think again. That is not the perspective that we find in Scripture. And so today, I want you to have new eyes to see this thing. We're going to see this from what we do have. So let's jump right into Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus is helping us to understand how to pray. And He says, but when you pray, go into your inner room and close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Now let me tell you about this inner room. If your translation says a closet, this is not like that tiny closet that you have in your house, okay? Now some of you have been taught that, and so you thought if I just go run in that closet and I'll get in there, that somehow my prayers will be better there. They really didn't even have a closet like that. It's not that walk-in closet that you have in your house either, okay? The inner room, the closet of a wealthy person of that day, and that's who He has to be talking about because the average person wouldn't have more than a room. Everybody stayed in this one area. But the closet, the inner room that He's speaking of there is this place where you store things. It would be more like a pantry if any of you have one of those. He's saying go into your pantry and you close the door. Now why do you need to close the door? Because He's telling these folks that their prayer life doesn't have to be this big showy thing out in public. It ought to be this private thing between you and God. And so you close the door so you can get a little privacy. You close it so that you can be honest with God. Now, come on, it's hard to be honest in a group full of people that are praying sometimes. And so you feel like there's some expectation, but when it's just you and God, and when you close the door, then you can just get honest and you can get real, and there's no pretending. And that's what He says. You don't have to pretend when you're around Me. You don't have to be somebody that you're not. You just close the door as you get into that pantry with Me and let Me and you talk. So there's this amazing thing that happens when we go into the pantry that I want you to see today. Somehow, as we go into our inner room, that inner closet of our life, it's as though we get transported into His pantry. And I want us to have an opportunity to do that today, but first you need to know this. Look at verse 8. He says, so do not be like them, the Pharisees, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. You hear that? Your Father knows your need before you ask. So if any of you have ever thought that somehow God wasn't paying enough attention and that the reason for prayer was to get God's attention down on your situation, it's like, God, apparently you're not paying attention to what's going on here, so I need you to see this thing just as bad as it really is. Now, somebody should have said amen. And we're like, God, you just don't see this thing, but I'm getting ready to tell you how it is. Yeah? He says, you know what? Rather than you try to get me to see it like you see it, I already know. What you need to do is know it like I know it. You see, you don't need to get me to know it like you know it. You need to know it like I know it. So go into your room, and I'm going to show you what it's like. And so today, I have never done this before with a group of people, but I have done it alone, and it ministers so much to me. I want to teach you how to live so that when you find a need or a lack or a problem in your life, it becomes a cue. It becomes a trigger, not to worry, but to go into that inner room, that pantry, and begin to see things from God's perspective. And so I'm going to invite you into the inner room with me this morning. And now some of you, you may need to close your eyes. That'll be closing the door. You ever realize sometimes that you just have to kind of close your eyes because there's things going on around you and it distracts you? And so whatever you need to do. Now, if you work third shift, you might not ought to close your eyes because you might start snoring. Okay? But for everybody else, if you need to close your eyes, whatever you need to do. But here is my prayer. Father, the storehouses of heaven are infinite. And I pray that you will take us from our inner room to your inner room right now. Because you know what we need. And so, Father, we want to see it from your perspective. We want to see the need that we walked in here from your perspective, the perceived lack from your perspective. We want to see the problem that we think we have from your perspective. So take us in, Lord, into that place with you in Jesus' name. So I want you to just imagine that this we have literally created our inner room right here among us. And now we're going to walk through this thing called the model prayer. And I pray today that it ministers to you like you have never had it minister to you before. In fact, if you have it with you, I want us to read it just one time. It's short. I want to read it together. And obviously with different translations, we may not all say it the same. That's not important. We need to get the gist of it. And so he says, pray then in this way. Verse 9, you know it. Our Father, who is in heaven. Come on with me. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now that sounded desperate, didn't it? No, it didn't. It didn't sound desperate. If you do the model prayer, it never comes across as desperate. And yet sometimes our prayers come across as extremely desperate. So let's move into the inner room and see it the way God sees it. He starts off and he says, Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. And as I walk into that inner room and I'm transported there with God, it's amazing because for me, I begin to see names. I begin, because it says, holy is your name. The character of God is hidden in the names of God. And so if you will just think on those names of God, I just close my eyes and picture them on a wall, and there they are, faithful and good and mighty. I see my provider and my protector. I see peace. I see the names of God that begin to reveal the character of God to me. And then the thing that unlocks it is when he said, Father. Because you see, Father connects us to the resources of God. Scripture tells us your earthly fathers know how to give good gifts. How much more would I give a good gift? And so picture this for just a moment. God was good before he ever made you. He was good before he ever made the earth, before any humanity ever stepped on earth, breathed their first breath. God was good, and he was kind, and he was faithful, and he was mighty. Do you know why you're here? because He wants to be good to you. You're here because He's always been faithful. He wants to be faithful to you. See, He needed an object for all of His character. He needed somebody to pour that out on. So if you've ever felt guilty for the goodness of God, you shouldn't, because that's why you're here. You see, Father connects us to all that God wants to be in our lives. And so He's saying, go in there and find My names and remember that I'm Father and realize that that's the connection that you have to all these things. I want to be all of those to you. You may have come in here and you didn't know who you are. You're lost. You just don't know who you are. You don't even know who God is. God says, if you'll go into that secret place with Me, and if you'll look in My Word, I'll show you My names, and I'll reveal Myself to you. And I have found out that not only does God teach me who I am, but the greatest gift of all is when He teaches me who He is. Oh, man. And then, some of you, you may have come in here and you've been confused. You got this situation and you don't know what to do. And so as we enter into the secret place and we begin to see it from God's perspective in verse 10, it says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as you begin to picture, I don't need God to come down to me as much as I need to see things from God's perspective. And so I've been talking to people lately about praying from God's perspective, to see it His way, not our way. And this thing of the kingdom, I love it, because if you're in that secret place, He begins to speak to you. Do you hear Him? He's saying, the kingdom of God is here. Do you believe that? The kingdom of God is near. That means it's within reach. When you bring that problem to Him, He says, guess what? The kingdom is in reach, child. He says, the kingdom of God is in you. And the kingdom of God is advancing. Now, all I have to do for a moment is just step outside of that secret place and I can get distracted, because I can watch the news. Oh, Lord. You know? I can talk to some people. You know them. They're never in church, but they're always somewhere out there. You know them negative people? You know, you never find them in church, but they're out there, and you'll run into one of them every now and again, and they'll tell you just how bad it is in case you didn't know. Yeah? And it's like, oh, Lord, you know, you think that God's in bad shape. This thing might not make it, you know? And as soon as you run into that, you're like, you know what? I got to go. I'm sorry, I got to go. And you get back in that secret place, and you go, oh, God, let me see it from heaven's eyes. And then He begins to show you your problem, your situation from His perspective. And as you see it from that, you go, oh, God, it looks a lot better from up here than it did from down there. I appreciate the perspective. Maybe some of you came in and you need a basic provision of life. Even though we live in one of the greatest, wealthiest nations in the world, I still run across people and they need some basic provisions. They need food or gas or lodging or something. There's a basic need sometimes in all of us. Despite our income, there's something basic that we feel like we need. And He says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Oh man, I love that one. I've had this image of walking into this, and all of a sudden, there I am with God. He says, God, and He says to me, child, what's wrong? Like, Lord, I got a need. Let's just call it bread. I got a need. I'm hungry. I don't have food for my family today. And He says, really? He says, come with me. Where are we going? I'm going to take you to my pantry. And you walk in, and here is this storehouse of heaven. And in Corinthians, it says He gives seed to the sower and bread for food. Oh, I love that verse. You begin to look on the shelves of heaven, and you know what? They're not empty. They're slam full of everything. I love that it says that He gives seed to the sower and He gives bread for eating. Because if you know anything about farming, you don't grow bread. Right? It all comes as seed. And then you got to decide, how much of it am I going to grind into flour to make bread, and how much of it will I leave in order to sow again for a harvest tomorrow? Oh, man, do you see, when I go into the secret place, God says, I've got bread and seed. I've got what you need for today, and I've got what you need for tomorrow so that you will have enough for tomorrow. Oh. And as you go in there and you look at his shelves, and they're just full, and you went in there and you had a need for bread, and he says, now, what is it that you wanted to talk to me about? I don't know. I can't even hardly remember. But can I stay here? And for those of you who that need transportation or something like that, you know, maybe he'll take you to his garage. He says, I can bring vehicles from anywhere and everywhere. I've ran into some people just recently. I don't even know where they're from. But there was a need of a lady in this community. And somebody Friday night said, I don't know why I'm supposed to tell you this, but there's a group of people here and they're doing these things. And we're wondering if anybody needs help on a house or anything. I'm like, yeah, like 2 months ago I heard of this. And it was so exciting because they're going over Monday and they're going to probably help this lady with this house. And I told Brantley, I said, God has sons and daughters everywhere. They're just all over the place. He's just planted them all over the world. And so it's like, we think we have a need. And it's like, no, it's not. There's already people out there. God's just moving them into place. You know? You're like, oh, God, my banking account is getting low. I just need some money. And all of a sudden you look at me and go, what's that? God's like, it's gold. See, around here, we use that is paving material. You didn't hear that, did you? You worried about your checking account. No, but you go into the secret place, and you say, what in the world is this? And he's like, oh, yeah, these are roads. See, around here, gold's paving material. You see, I've deposited it on the earth. We pave with it in heaven. It's of no meaning to me because up here it's infinite. God says, now, what is it that you wanted to talk to me about? You go, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And it's amazing how good you get in the secret place when you realize the provisions of heaven. This one may cause you to think for just a moment, but you realize that God made all of your original body parts, right? Right? He made all of them. So, sometimes I say the most profound things, don't I? Yeah, that's why you love me. Do you realize if there's something wrong with one of them, he can give you a new one? Or he can make that one new? I heard the story of a lady who had this heart for healing, but she just didn't have much faith for it. And so she said, God, I got to see this thing from your perspective. And so he took her into his storehouse, and he began to show her these body parts. And she's like, this is kind of a strange dream I'm having here. And there's all these body parts. And all of a sudden, she got it. She said, you know what? If God made our original parts, he can give us new ones. And when she came back, can you imagine the kind of perspective you have on prayer for healing once you've been into the storehouse and you see that the God who made the first part can make a new one or change the other one? When I told Brantley that, she looked at me kind of funny. I said, you might look at it kind of funny, but let's compare our prayer with her prayer. Who you think is going to pray different? Because she's got a different perspective on things. In fact, from what I understand this morning, well, Pat told me, this past week, she had a little accident, bummed up her shoulder a little bit, had a test run, and there was something kind of messed up in there. They said, we got to send you to a specialist. They sent her to a specialist. He does another set of tests. Nothing there, right? Nothing there. You don't think God still heals? If he made your first body part, why can't he fix whatever happens to you? In fact, Sue, I believe you said you felt God healing you even in the midst of worship, right? So you see, we tend to think that God don't do that anymore. And oftentimes that's because we're out of the secret place. We're out in the world where all the doubt and fears live. But if you go into the secret place, God will say, you know what? It's no problem. I made the first one. I can make a second one. It's no problem to me. And then for those of you who maybe came in and you come in with sin and with failure, maybe with unforgiveness in your life, and you go, what does God have to say to me today? Because I came in feeling dirty and full of sin. I came in feeling incomplete. I came in with bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart. And in verse 12, he says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And as we're in that secret place, if you just look, this one to me is like a movie being projected on the screen. I don't know, close your eyes and see if you can see it with me. You see, I see a hill. And that hill is called Golgotha. Some people call it Calvary. And I see a Savior hanging there, and His name is Jesus. And at first, it doesn't look so great because His body is broken and it's bruised. It's so beaten, and there's so much blood. And I don't want to look because I don't like the sight of what I see. But as I continue to look at it, He begins to confirm for me, son, it's that blood that set you free. It's that blood that I shared to pour out for your sins. You see, your sins are actually already forgiven. I did it 2,000 years ago on that mountain that you see called Calvary. And as I hung there and I bled, I was doing it for you. Do you doubt that I forgive you? I did that for you. But child, that's not the end of the story, because you see, they're going to take me down off of that cross and they're going to put me in a tomb and they're going to think that it's over, but it's not over. I'm just getting started, because in 3 days I'm going to rise again and I'm going to defeat death and hell and the grave and everything that God, that the demons and the devil has wanted to do to you. See how it makes me stutter? I get so excited. Woo! And so child, if you ever doubt, if you are saved, just come back to the inner room and we'll talk again about Calvary. If you ever doubt whether or not I can forgive your sins, then just come back to the inner room with me to Calvary and look at what I did for you, and you'll realize that you're already forgiven. I did it then so that it would be complete and I don't ever have to do it again. I'll take you back to Calvary. Oh, and you go in there and you say, there's people I don't like, God. I don't like some folks. They done some stuff and I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but I'm just mad. He says, yeah, I understand. A lot of the same stuff you're mad at them for, you've already done. You didn't have to say, oh man, oh my. I know it was hard to say amen over that one, right? That's when you don't say amen, you say, oh my. Anyway, I'm having trouble forgiving. What are you having trouble forgiving of? This? Oh, really? Because I've seen it in you. And I forgave it. Oh, you see, the reason we have trouble forgiving others is because we haven't been to the secret room enough to understand how much we've been forgiven. As soon as you realize how much you have been forgiven, when somebody else does something, you go, you know what? I got to. Because that's just the way I live. I just live forgiven because I've been into the secret room and I viewed Calvary and the blood of Jesus. And then you say, but Kevin, I'm just being attacked. The enemy is just, he's just all over me right now. It just feels like everywhere I turn, there's an enemy. And I would say, as we go into that inner room, look at this verse in 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I found out that if I just go into the secret place and allow God to show me things, that the enemy begins to get smaller and God begins to get bigger. It's not that he literally grows. It's just that I get a better perspective of who he really is. And he just gets bigger. And the enemy just gets stronger. I believe that most of you are going to get to heaven one day, and if Jesus ever allows you to have a real clear picture of what the devil looks like, you're going to go, what? He looked like that? If I had known he was that small and that spindly and that inept, I never would have been afraid of him. I said, I know. I know. I tried to show you what he looked like, you know, by showing you who I am. That's how the devil gets smaller. You know, I love this guy named Smith Wigglesworth. He's one of my dogs, my dead old guys. And his biographer spent a lot of time with him. Wigglesworth was this guy, this mighty man of prayer. one morning he got up and he told this guy, he followed him, and like I said, the guy did his biography, and he said, you know what? He said, last night I had this weird feeling about something being in the room with me. You ever had that feeling? Something was in the room with you. It's like something pressing in on your chest, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of people will go into panic mode. They're like, there's evil present. There's just something weighing on my chest. I just woke up panicked. You know what Wigglesworth said? There was something in my room last night and it was evil. Guy said, yeah. He said, what was it? He said, I looked up and it was Satan. He said, what? How many of you would like for literally Satan to come in a visible form at the foot of your bed? Huh? Now, come on, let's be honest. Y'all take this at the table. Most of us would wet the bed. He said, what did you do? He said, I looked at him. He said, oh, it's just you. And I went back to bed. Now, that's a man that's been in the secret place, who knows the size of his God and compares it to what he's seen. And it's like, really? You? You see, death is defeated. Hell is defeated. Satan is defeated. It's in the secret place that we figure that out. Oh, and then by the way, you're in a secret place and you see all these paths and they go in different directions and you go, Lord, what are all these paths? What are all these different little roads to take? And the Lord says, I'm glad you asked. You see, those are the paths out of sin, because I promised you that wherever there was sin, that it wouldn't be too great for you, but in every place I would give you a way out. Those are the way out. You see, when you're out of the secret place, sometimes you can't find a way out. It looks like that sin is so encompassing that you'll never get out. But see, when you go into the secret place, oh, there really was. There was always a way out. There were sometimes multiple paths to get out. God had always planned a way for me to get out from sin. So for anybody who walked in here and it felt like you cannot get loose, I would say, picture that in your mind, that secret place where the paths of God that lead us out from sin are. And he says, yours is the kingdom, it's the power, and it's the glory forever. As I just spend time in prayer and I just allow God to minister to me through His Word. And see, I couldn't have painted those pictures to you without having the Word of God. But as I paint those pictures, and as you sit there, and if some of you have been able to see it that way, you might say, oh, it's better in the secret place. Was it better? It's better in the secret place. The question might be, Lord, can I stay here? Can I just stay in the secret place? And the Holy Spirit will say to you, yes, child, you can. You can live your life out of the secret place. In fact, that's what you were always supposed to do. You were supposed to live your life out of the secret place. But see, you've been focusing on the problem. You've been living out of the lack. You've been living out of that circumstance or that situation. The reason you feel so much better now is because you've seen it from my perspective and you see what I have already done. So yes, you can live out of the secret place. And so then when you walk out of here and you're confronted with that need or that lack or whatever it is, I want it to be a cue for you. I want it to be a trigger for you that says, oh, okay, right now it feels like there's a problem. What do I do? Okay, I got to go into the secret place. I got to close the door. And I've got to get with God. And I have to see this thing from His perspective and operate out of that. So then it takes me back to where He said in verse 8, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So Scripture says that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. As you begin to look through Scripture, you realize that you don't have the kind of needs that you think you do. They're already provided. So if I go to God and I say, God, it feels like there are all these needs in my life. He says, I already know what you need. Then maybe what we ought to ask is, then God, what do you think we need? What is it that you think I need? If everything else is provided for me, then what do I need? And maybe what that is a fresh revelation of God. Maybe you need to see God more clearly. I shared something Friday night with the folks at CR, and I want to share it with you. It says that our doubts and our fears show us that we don't know God well enough. The people at CR started grabbing their phones and pens and everything else, and they're like, hold on, hold on, hold on. You may want to do that too. Hold on. That thing stings just a little bit when you hear it the first time. When I did, I got just absolutely offended by it. Don't know God, I do. Wow. There's truth to that. What is it that you really need? What you may really need is a revelation of God. And maybe the need or the problem or the lack in your life was like a signal pointing you to the fact that God is saying, you know what? In that area, you don't know me well. In that area of your theology, there's some issues. I want you to get them fixed. I want you to know me. Some of you may say, finances just worry me to death. I would say, you can look at your checkbook all you want, but until you look at Jehovah Jireh, things might not change. That's my provider. Yeah. You may have problems, and you can't figure out where to turn. And those problems are going to stay there until you find that God is your refuge and your strength in time of need. But a refuge doesn't do much good unless you run into it. So most of the time, the issue is not what it appears to be on the surface. It's that in that particular area, I don't know God well. But that's also an incredible opportunity. Did you see it? Do you see the opportunity? It is that I can know Him. And that I can know Him in that area. And some of you say, I don't know Him at all. And I would say today is the day that you can come to salvation. Because if you want to see the kingdom, here's what Scripture says, you must be born again. That's why when you step out of the secret place and into the world, many of those people are not born again, and so they do not see things the way God sees them. That's why they just don't line up with Scripture. And so I would invite you to be born again so that you can see the kingdom. And then those of you who would say, but I've been born again, Kevin. And I'm like, awesome. And you say, well, why is it that I just don't see things that way? I would say, because you're not going into the secret place. But now you've been. And now you can go back anytime you want. And you can see it from that perspective. So, praise team, if you guys come, I want to give you guys an opportunity. For whatever you came into today, if you did not finish what God wanted to start in that secret place, to just give you time to go back in and see that verse and see those promises. And I want to pray this as a prayer over you right now. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, and this is Paul's prayer to the church. And Paul's not praying for their bank account. He's not praying for them to have more food. He's not praying for them to get a better mule. He's not praying for any of those things. Listen to what he's praying for. In verse 17, chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power, check this out, toward us who believe. You see, His power is aimed, and it is aimed toward you who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and He seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the age but also in the one to come. Woo, that covers it. And He put all things in subjection under His feet, and He gave Him as head of all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So go into the secret place right now and see what God wants to show you. The altar is available if you need it. If you want to receive Christ, come down here and we'll pray for you. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.